Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back, and the world of MMA continues to get more mental. Noel McGrath, how are you, my love? How is the world treating you?
I'm good, man. Not too bad. It's dark, and hell is hot.
is that a DMX reference because you've shaved your head? Are you getting more gangster with the lack of hair at the moment?
I've always been a little bit gangster. The mean streets of South Church, then. Do you know what I mean?
South Church, on the rough end, is it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. The rough end's where all the crazy-ass mofos like McGrath.
You have to save up for their own Mercedes out there, what?
yeah. Daddy doesn't just dish them out down this end, you know?
Well, of course, it's episode 80, another fantastic landmark for the Eurobash podcast and all. It's an amazing journey we've been on, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It is. 80, Jesus, that's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was 79 again, but I just checked there and it turns out it's 80. So, yeah, I mean, listen, what a moment.
You know me and the numbers, never be my strongest thing in the world, the same in school, like, so, Jesus.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, a lot going on still, the situation changing by the day, it would seem, at this stage, but, yeah, will we have a look at these news headlines and then we can crack on properly.
Do it.
UFC still pushing forward with three events on May 9th, May 13th, and May 16th. Dana White says that international fighters will be able to travel to Fight Ireland without complications. UFC Dublin seems to be on shaky legs as the government have banned gatherings over 5,000 people until September. From inthecage.pl, Volkan Ozdemir and Yuri Prohaska was agreed for that event. Jack Hermanson seems to be in a bind for his fight against Chris Weidman. We're going to hear from Jack later on. Alistair Overeem is set to take on Walt Harris on May 16th. Francis Ngannou and Jairzinho Rozenstruik's request to have their bout decide the next interim heavyweight champion has been shot down by the UFC. And the Virginia Commission denies Ion Cutelaba his appeal of the controversial UFC Norfolk loss just a couple of months ago. That's all the news we have, but that's more news than we've had for quite a while, my friend.
Yeah, there's a lot happening obviously with the UFC announcements during the week, and you know, guys I think are just pushing real hard to get fights at the moment. It's going to be tough, obviously, because we don't know where Fight Island is, and obviously the news about you know, UFC Dublin probably going by the wayside. So just lots of stuff, mate. Lots of stuff to digest. I think that's an ongoing thing we've talked about for a number of episodes, that it's going to be like that. So it's just day by day still at the moment.
Yeah, Dana White did a big interview with Kevin Ioli of Yahoo Sports. Gave us some information, despite him saying he'll tell the media nothing, on Fight Island and these Jacksonville cards. First of all, like, I mean, Kevin's question, I mean, the biggest thing, I guess, to take from it is, I think it would help a lot of people here if Dana White just said that people will be getting tested, or just explain the kind of testing people will undergo to either compete or attend this event in whatever way, shape, or form they're to do so. But once again, he won't tell Kevin Ioli specifically what is going on with the testing of fighters. Is that him simply, you know, not wanting to play ball here, or do you think they're still trying to figure it out?
I think they're still trying to figure it out, Petey. I don't think there's anything in place. I think, you know, Dane is the type of guy, and, you know, he'd tell you straight hand and straight up if he actually had something in place. So I would imagine they're still working on what they're doing. And, you know, I think sort of a comparison we can make to this is, you know, the WWE have still been going ahead with events. And, you know, there was rumours, obviously, in the WWE during the week. That's obviously in Florida as well, their headquarters. And, you know, there's rumours that there was a couple of sick guys going in and out, and there was all sorts of drama online, apparently, from what I've seen there. So maybe the way I look at this is that Dana just doesn't have a clue of of what they have in place yet for the fighters, and I think it's critical that they have
Is that right? I didn't realize the WWE were still doing events. Because I watched that WrestleMania thing, and that had been recorded 2 weeks in advance. Have they continued to do their weekly
shows? Yeah, their weekly shows in the headquarters down in Florida there. So that's where they've been doing it, in the Performance Institute. They've been, you know, live, as far as I'm aware, on Mondays and Friday nights with their two different brands, and still pumping out the content. Yeah.
Right, so I mean, from what I've gathered, right, I've been speaking to a few European fighters, the situation, and some managers, the situation seems to be that the only visas that the US are processing at the moment is for essential workers.
That's right, yeah.
Essential workers being medics, government officials, things like this. It's put on a huge obstacle on international fighters getting into the US. Of course, we have Alistair Overeem taking on Walt Harris, but if you remember, he literally just got over before the restrictions were put in place, so he could get there. Alistair Overeem, of course, not one to shy away from a fight ever in his life. But the visa issues here for European fighters, and based on what Dana has said to Kevin Ioli, I feel like this Fight Island thing is the only way we're going to see international fighters in action here who aren't already in the US.
Again, yeah, like, you know, he's not telling us anything, so like, it could be feckin' Aruba, it could be anywhere, who fucking knows with Dana White.
The one thing he has said is that it will not, you know, international borders won't be restricted.
Yeah, it won't be in US waters. So it is interesting. I don't know what that means for the US fighters. I just think it's all a bit mental at the moment, and again, I question whether, you know, if there was such secrecy, why?
Yeah, I know, I agree. I think if he had it, he would have said it, right? Yeah. But I mean, for the US fighters, if there's fights going on in fucking Jacksonville, they don't surely have to worry as much as the international fighters, right?
Yeah, well, I think the international fighters, this is going to be a big problem going forward, you know.
Yeah.
Till after this year, even, till we know what's going on fully, because I think the UFC are just clearly, with the card coming up at 249, it's, you know, it's obviously a lot of guys that are based over there, and I think that's going to be their thought process going forward. And, you know, we can talk all we want about Fight Island.
Who's ringing
and, so I don't know who it is. My nephew, actually, little shitbag. It's plugged in. But yeah, I think if we look at what's going on there, and you know, it's going to be something the UFC are going to have to resolve and notify these fighters. Because we see all the fighters, the European guys, Darren Till's crying for a fight. I'll put me on Fight Island. But Dana's been so untransparent with this. So, you know, who knows what's going on anywhere? And it's like, if guys want to get out there, like, you have the quarantine issues as well. I really don't know.
Till talking about get me to Fight Island. I mean, he wasn't. The US situation is pretty closed off for Darren at the moment, let's be honest.
Yeah, I know, and he can't even get a visa in the best of times. So, it's pretty insane altogether. Listen, I don't know. Look, Dana, I just think it's disrespectful to a lot of people that are involved in the sport, including the media and the fighters, that he's not being transparent at all what's going on here. He's happy enough to let, you know, media go in and cover his events, which he will be open to doing, as far as I'm aware, if anything was go by the last scheduled card that fell by the wayside. That's totally disrespectful, putting the media's health at risk as well, not letting them know many details of what's going on anywhere.
I heard that the media won't be going to that. Like that was what I heard. Like, I mean, nobody's allowed to go, basically. Like, it's, which is going to make it very hard for us to prove or disprove what type of testing or what type of testing isn't going on, right? Like, I mean, that, from what I heard, nobody's going. So I don't know. Apart from the fighters, pretty much the bare essentials. You know, it's just mad.
Well, I think that's the way it should be. Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. But
like,
I mean,
what's the issue doing a Zoom call with a camera? Like, it's not that hard if they want to do post fight stuff to organize for a big, you know, corporation like the UFC.
Oh yeah, like I mean, why not? They might do something like that. But I asked you every week, how is your confidence levels on May 9th now? Do you think it will go ahead, yeah, or do you think the situation could change dramatically once again?
I think I said it about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I think I thought Florida or California, you know, and Florida.
You said 2.9 was going ahead as well, though, mate.
I did say that, yeah, but I think I think with Florida, you know, it's obviously been, you know, one of the states that is sort of more willing to put on fights, yeah, and sporting events behind closed doors. And I think they've sort of said they're going to open back up the state. And, you know, there's obviously been a few issues in the past with it, with the governor there as well. So, you know, it is interesting. And yeah,
what
I
issues
am.
With the governor?
There's been a few little things. I'm sure our listeners can look them up and Google them if they want. You know, I'm not going to go.
Well,
here.
We should do that. Sorry. We're the newsmen here, mate.
We're not a governmental podcast, but it's like you sending me that thing last week. To do a 5K run. All right, no, but I think in terms of that, and going forward in Florida, as I said, it's one of the few states that seems to be reopening and opening back up. But it's pretty mad all the same that it is going ahead, and 3 events in what, 8 days in Jacksonville, mental.
I'm seeing this here. I googled the governor of Florida because you've not given us any information whatsoever there. And a headline: Florida Governor Ron DeSantis calls state God's waiting room.
Yeah. Oh, he's mental. Like, yeah, he dealings with Vince McMahon as well back in the day and stuff like that. So I think there's. I better not say anymore.
We're going to put on 3 events here. Direct quote from the governor: Florida is ground zero for the nursing home. Yeah. We're God's waiting room. There you Jesus.
Go. Yeah, and then they're going to put on events and open back the state. Mental. Absolutely
just bleed,
crazy.
Ron DeSantis. Just bleed. That is incredible. Right, will we get on with the first interview of the day, friend? Right, we have finally got him, Mr. Leon Edwards, the man you have all been asking us to get on the show. Of course, there was massive fallout from UFC London, an event which was, in the end, it was cancelled. But Tyron Woodley is aiming himself at a lot of different fighters, but none of them are Leon Edwards. Of course, the man who was meant to take on that UFC London main event. So we got Leon Edwards' take on that. The fact that Edwards seems to be going after his good friend Israel Adesanya instead of him. And Leon also had some things to say about the recent stabbings in Birmingham, a situation he feels is getting out of hand. And it's great to hear him speak about this, using his platform in that way. So look, let's go and talk to Leon, and we'll be back in 15 minutes to discuss further. You have been waiting to hear from Leon Edwards, and he is finally back on Eurobash, one of your all-time favorite guests. Leon, first of all, how are you? Long time no speak.
I am good, brother. Thank you. Quarantine with the family, spending time with my son and my family, so it's all good. How are you?
Yeah, same. I'm walking the legs off my dog. The poor fucker's on the couch. And, he starts shaking every time he sees me at this stage. But is everyone in your family all good?
Yeah, all good. Everyone's healthy. That's the main thing, you know what I mean? Brilliant. So it's all good. Just been spending time. I got a little dog as well, so walking my dog, going on bike rides. Just trying to stay busy, really. Trying to stay active.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Good to hear. That's all good news. I guess we have to talk about the UFC London situation. I know you're probably blue in the face talking about it, but I really appreciate you coming on to speak to us. Like, I mean, I can't tell you how big this felt as it approached. I had all my casual friends that would only usually watch McGregor fights. They saw that BT promo. And they were going wild for this. They couldn't wait to see you in there with Woodley. The general public interest was huge for you. Did this make it a particularly hard pill to swallow? Because I felt like you'd made huge advances in your popularity, in your stock, in your general clout ahead of this event. Was that make it even harder for you to not compete, I guess, when the event was inevitably cancelled?
Yeah, for sure. And like, to have this card, this is like one of my dreams, you know what I mean? To headline a UFC main event in London, in the UK. This is like what I've dreamt of from getting into the sport, you know what I mean? So to have it taken away from me on a week's notice, obviously because of what's going on in the world, it was devastating. It was heartbreaking, you know what I mean? But I'm praying to God that we can reschedule, can get it redone and rebooked. But the way it's looking, he's running for the fences. So we'll see.
Yes, yes, we will speak about Tyron later on. A very strange approach he's taken to this after the fact. But I mean, the reaction that your situation got, I mean, it was an insane situation for the UFC to be in. Don't get me wrong, but you did that interview with Adam Cattrall, the great Adam Cattrall, where you were speaking about, you know, you get a phone call on Sunday morning, basically, like, be in London 3 hours, Birmingham's 2 hours and a bit away as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you don't need to explain to anyone why you couldn't get your team together in that quick notice and everything like that, and you had no guarantee to come home. But has it left you with a bad taste in your mouth at all, how this situation went down, or do you think it's pretty par for the course when you're in a situation that we're all in very suddenly?
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? I think what's going on in the rest of the world, you know what I mean? It just is what it is. Nothing I could have done about it. I tried my best to even say, give me till Monday, Tuesday. Let me try to get my team together to try to convince them to leave their family to go to America. You know what I mean? Not know whether or not we'll be able to come back into the UK after the fight. So I was even like pleading with them then, but they said, you need to leave on the Sunday, because the band is going in on the Monday. So you have to leave on the Sunday, but it wasn't possible to get done, you know what I mean? So, but it is what it is, like I said, but fuck it.
do you think you've been affected? Like, but are the UFC annoyed with you for this situation? Or do they understand the huge ask they kind of threw on the table for you, like, with 3 hours notice? Surely they understand that, you know, why this couldn't come to fruition.
At the time, they was trying to, like, fucking play some games with me, you know what I mean? But I think now that the card has been cancelled. Because they cancelled it anyway I think it was Monday they cancelled it. So let's say I did go to America on the Sunday. I would have been stuck there till even now, you know what I mean? Without even competing. So I definitely made the right decision. And I think now that they're more lenient on me and they're more understandable now.
Good, good. And are you've been compensated? I've heard from a lot of fighters. Are you happy with how you've been compensated for, you know, your whole preparation there? It was all done, but the act itself, right?
Yeah, exactly. Everything was done. I was just about to start my weight cut, basically. Just start making weight, you know what I mean? But camp was done. We're going into weight cut week. But yeah, what they gave us, it was all right. It kind of covered the camp, you know what I mean? I thought at least we got show money at least. But that wasn't the case. But it is what it is. Nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, and I guess we're still in limbo to a certain extent here because of, you know, the world and its reaction to this whole thing going down. From what I'm hearing, the U.S. visa situation isn't all that easy for European fighters at the moment because they're not really doing anything for non-essential workers, right? Like, unless you're basically a government official or something like that or a medic.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not really happening. Is that what your situation is at the moment?
Exactly. My visa runs out in on June the 1st, I think. Right. So after that, I don't know how I'll be able to get into the States. So if I want to compete, it has to be in May. Well, you know what I mean? And that's madness. But I'm hoping that this Fight Island got going on, that hopefully guys from outside the States can go to the island and compete. You know what I mean? Because I'm young. I want to stay active. I want to stay busy. And if you can get a team together and try to get a fight done.
Yeah, I saw Dana. He spoke to Kevin Ioli of Yahoo Sports. And he said the whole idea of Fight Island was so international fighters can come and go without complication. Is that what's been communicated to you?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I've heard as well. That's the point of having the island. So I'm praying that... let's see if they can actually get the May cards done first, and if they can, then I'll be talking to my team and talking to my coaches and see what we can do to compete.
Yes, yes, and you don't know where it is, right? Everybody's trying to find out where Fight Island is.
Yeah.
They haven't told you.
I haven't got a clue. You're not telling the fighters, not telling the managers, you're telling no one, so I don't know. It would be good to see where it is.
Fingers crossed for Jamaica, right?
Some fucking tropical. Jamaica would be great. Jamaica would be great.
Oh my God. But right, let's get to the elephant in the room. Mr. Tyron Woodley.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me the way this has gone. This fight makes perfect sense from a sport point of view.
Yeah.
Even the rivalry itself, like, I mean, you got Tyron, big reactions out of Tyron not all that much work on your part. You just kind of, as we talked about before, you said some things about his rap music that seemed to light a fire under him. Obviously, you know, you couldn't travel to the US, but since then, Tyron's been calling out every other welterweight in the division, it seems. How has this been for you to watch this happening when it was within your grasp?
Exactly. It's strange. It's very weird. Like, since the fight been postponed, he hasn't mentioned my name one bit, you know what I mean, which I find very strange. If I had a fight with a man that he said I relit the fire under him and blah blah blah, and what's it gonna do to me, I'll push it for that fight to happen, you know what I mean. But like I said, since the fight been cancelled, he hasn't once mentioned my name. He's calling out lightweights, he's calling out even the middleweight champion, he's calling out, you know what I mean. I think he's the man is just lost, and he's up there in age, he's 38 years old. I think he done an interview saying he spent all his money and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know whether he's trying to get some money under his belt before retiring. But he's calling out everyone apart from me, which is a very strange thing.
Yeah, like, I mean, I watched his interview in the immediate aftermath of this situation, basically the fallout of your and his fight on my friend Ariel Helwani's show. And he was... Yeah. He was talking about how there's this whole new clown generation that needs to be stamped out, that, you know, Colby, Usman, and how they weren't real. But for me, when I'm listening to this, I think, you know, you have never compromised who you are to sell a fight. You've always been yourself. And I'm wondering, why is he feeding the fire of this clown generation, if that's what he thinks it is, instead of rewarding you for being real, if you get me?
Yeah, exactly. And he's calling all his clowns, but I think he's one of the, everyone's clout chasing, blah, blah, blah. But I think he's one of the biggest clout chasers. You know what I mean? He's going out, calling out, like I said, middleweight champions, Izzy, and calling just random fights. So I think if anyone is clout chasing, that seems to me that's a clout chaser, that's chasing down people with clout, that's trying to get a fight with them and trying to use their name to build his name, you know what I mean? So I don't know. Like I said, I think he's lost, and he just doesn't know where he stands and what he wants to do.
You and Izzy are mates. What's the crack there? You know that. Like, you'll know more than most people if that fight is even a possibility. I've seen you guys hang out in California and things like that. Any word on that? Do you think that's even...
Nah, zero. I spoke to Izzy when I tweeted Izzy, and I messaged Izzy, and he's like, oh, man, this fucking kid's lost. Just basically, he hasn't got a clue what he's on about, you know what I mean? So, like I said, he's just trying, he's clout chasing and trying to find something to stick, basically.
Were you on to Izzy like, hey, stay away from him, that's my guy, stop tweeting that guy?
Nah, Izzy knew already what a crack is, you know what I mean? We've got the same management team anyway, and you kind of knew like what the sketch is anyway, you know, that's my work.
Yes. Like, I mean, are you confident that will still happen? Like, I mean, as I said, the fight makes perfect sense to a lot of people, I'm sure you as well. Like, I mean, is that the number one priority for making that Tyron fight happen now for you?
My number one priority is to get the bout, you know what I mean? But like you said, if them two are busy, Masvidal and Usman, then Woodley is the next best option, you know what I mean? So I will push in for any of them.
Yes. I wanted to ask you something not related to the fight game as such. You tweeted about the knife incident in Birmingham recently, and I've noticed that you've become very vocal about this over the last year or so. Is this situation getting out of hand in Birmingham as far as you can see, Leon?
Yeah, man, it's getting crazy. And that kid that got stabbed on that poster yesterday, it was actually one of my friends. One of my best friend's cousin that got stabbed, you know what I mean?
Sorry.
I found out about today. I didn't even know till this morning. I said, oh, that's one of my best friend's cousin. I was like, oh, fuck, you know what I mean? So, yeah, man, it's getting like yesterday alone was three or four stabbings in Birmingham, all dead, you know what I mean? Which is fucking madness in a lockdown, you know what I mean?
Mm. Are you kind of trying to use your platform to kind of speak out against this? Like, do you see the importance of your platform in that regard, that maybe you can speak to these guys? I know you were involved in gangs and stuff when you were younger. Do you feel like you're in a good position to talk to the youth?
Exactly. I feel like I'm in the perfect position. You know, I've been there, I've done that, and I can like try my best to show them another way. You know what I mean? But it is hard. It is there's not really like an answer that I can give to that will fix it all, you know what I mean? But to see like little kids like that getting stabbed to death in broad daylight, you know what I mean, in the lockdown, it's heartbreaking, man, to see it. And that's what I posted it yesterday, just to shed a little bit of light on it, to let people see how bad it is there, and that the kids need help, you know what I mean? And they need something to happen. You can't just like turn a blind eye to it, like everyone else does, you know what I mean? Just go, oh yeah, it's gangs, they're fucking blah, blah, blah. You can't just leave them to it, which is not a good way to look at it, man. So I try my best to talk to the people I know in Birmingham. I try my hardest to try help the kids.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shocking piece of footage, to be honest. Really yeah. Crazy. I mean, like, I guess when you watch that, do you ever think, like, Jesus, if my ma didn't bring me to that gym that day, you know, I could have been involved in something like this. Your brother as well. Exactly. I know you, exactly. MMA saved him as well. Like, I mean, do you guys ever go, shit, like, that could have been us?
Exactly, bro. It was crazy as well, right? My friend, I showed my friend a video yesterday, and he sent in a picture of, I was like 15, 16, and he sent the picture into the group chat, and it was like five or six of us, and after the six of us, four of us are doing life sentences right now. Holy, you know what I mean? And apart from me, I'm other mate that I sent it to, other four kids, they're all doing life in prison right now for murder. You know what I mean? So I'm very grateful. For my mom and what she had done for me and my brother, and to show us another path, and I'm happy that we stuck to it, and now it's paying off.
Yeah, it's very noble of you, man, and fair play to you. It's great to see you doing that. I'm sure it will speak to a lot of people in Birmingham as well, as your status continues to rise. I just got one more for you, Leon, and again, thanks so much for your time. We always love having you on. We spoke about this before. When you fought Gunnar in London, it was insane because you were booed on your way out. This time around, as I said, it felt like you were going to be embraced like a national hero.
Yeah.
Tell me, what way do you see the public perception of Leon Edwards being by next March?
Like you said, within a year, my stock has risen. You know what I mean? Like, let's
a crazy amount. Insane.
When the fought entails undercard and They was booing me when I was walking out, you know what I mean? In the UK, which was crazy. I couldn't believe it. And now to be able to sell out the O2 in record time, I think it was like 3 minutes I sold it out in. And so I think in next March, I'll be a world champion. After all this is cleared up with the quarantine and lockdown, by next March, I see myself being a world champion and hopefully getting to defend my belt back in the UK. You know what I mean? So that's my plan, and that's what I set out to do, and that's what I will achieve.
Leon, I can't wait to see it, and we are all behind you. Thanks so much for coming on, and I hope you get that visa for Fight Island, wherever it may be. Hopefully, Jamaica.
Hopefully.
A new pair of trainers and all for Tim if he goes to make it, I imagine.
Get some jerk chicken in me. Good food.
Yes, indeed. Go on, Leon. Thanks so much, man. Talk to you soon.
Good, man. Thank you, brother.
Bye-bye.
Great to hear from Leon Edwards, a man in a very precarious situation, it would seem, as are most of the international fighters, let's be honest. Niall, based on what he says here about Tyron Woodley, he feels as though, you know, he's trying to chase every other fight apart from him at the moment. How do you feel about that situation? I mean, is it just too hard to tell at the moment when we don't know about travel and things like that? Or do you feel as though Leon will be put in a fight among the higher echelons of the welterweight division when he does get back to action?
Listen, I think we've always said it. Leon deserves that big fight. And I just think in Tyron's case, obviously that platform in London was that for Leon. But in Tyron's case, I think there is sort of bigger names that he hasn't fought that he's gone. Probably in his own mind, you know, I'm not getting back over to the UK anytime soon with all that's going on. I've Colby Covington here. I've Kamaru Usman here. I can play this to my advantage in a different way and go back after that, you know, that strap again and a fight that's probably at the moment more likely is a Covington or Usman scrap, because they're obviously both based in the US. And I think that's the way he's looking at it, because Leon hasn't had that moment yet, and that was obviously the moment. So it's all a bit of a clusterfuck for Leon Edwards. Very unfortunate set of circumstances, but I can understand what Tyron's doing, and I can understand his tactics at the moment.
I don't understand his tactics at the moment. Like, yeah, okay, if it was Colby and Usman, that's fine, but it isn't. He's chasing Israel Adesanya by the looks of things on there. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't. I think Tyron, you know, gives out about other guys sort of, you know.
Yeah, that's the whole thing I was saying to Leon. I'm like, I heard him on Ariel's show that day. He literally starts the sentence by going like, Leon's a good fighter, I respect his game, blah, blah, blah. But you got all these clowns here that act one way and then act another way online, and this is bullshit, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, you're rewarding those guys by chasing them, surely, like, rather than fighting a guy who everyone can agree is pretty much straight down the middle. He is what he is. He doesn't try to be anything he isn't, right?
I think Tyron's at the age. Yeah, I totally agree with what you just said there. And I think Tyron's at the age now as well. You know, maybe that's something he wants to fit into his considerations is, you know, they're money fights, they're bigger names than Leon Edwards. And as we said, and as I said there a couple of minutes ago, I think these guys bring more eyes to a potential fight than Leon Edwards does, because that was actually his platform in London. Unfortunately, it fell through, and I just think that's the way it is. I don't understand the Izzy line and why he's going after Izzy. I just don't think that's ever going to happen. You know, I think it's a mental decision to be talking about that, but he just seems to be criticizing everyone. You know, maybe have a look at yourself and your rap music at times, Tyron, as well, you know.
Man, he is getting slayed, isn't he? Oh my Jesus. The amount of online posts just taking the piss out of poor Tyron and his side project.
Yeah, sure.
Jesus.
Like, Darren was slating him a few weeks ago and he was on with us, I think. You know, Tyron slated him a load of times. He's got a pretty
Tyron
rough.
Slated himself.
He might as well be at this point. But no, man, I just don't understand that fight. You know, the UFC aren't going to do that. There's other guys and other fights they need to sort out in the middleweight division. And I think there's plenty of fights there for Tyron. And most notably, you know, in my opinion, the one I want to see, and I think the one a lot of other people want to see, is the Covington fight, because the beef there just seems endless. But who knows if we'll get that over the line. And listen, we might do in the next 2 weeks. That's the mad thing, because Dana hasn't confirmed if those two other cards after 249 are going to be pay-per-view or what they're going to be yet. So the UFC might try and milk every penny they can out of this. And I think they might make a decision even after 249 what they're going to do, you know, 4 days later, because, you know, money talks at the end of the day. And in this sort of environment, I think everyone or anyone's going to pay a bit of bucks to watch some live sport.
It just sucks balls that Leon didn't get the fight, that UFC London fight. Man, after it just was building perfectly. Yeah. And then it's like, fuck.
It's tough, man. But, like, you know, it's just Leon is like, you know, Brendan Loughnan, who are going to be speaking to. You know, he just hasn't had many breaks, man. And it's been a shit year for a lot of the guys here in the UK.
It's one thing, like, yeah, Leon hasn't any breaks. Brendan Loughnan's talking about the situation he's in. Yeah. And he goes, but Jesus, Leon. Like,
he did say that. Yeah, listen, it just shows you. And it's good to see that, I think, you know, the majority of guys in the UK and the UK scene, they do seem to get on well. The majority. I know it's cool to see. And you listen, it shows you what a guy Brendan is as well. when he's saying that, he's had a rough couple of years, you know what I mean, in terms of fights.
Think it's a golden age of UK MMA? I do.
Sorry?
Think it's the golden age of UK MMA?
Yeah, definitely, man. Sure, look at the beasts that have been coming through and what we've seen come through. We've, you know, Darren Till, who's only 26-year-old, you know, he's already fought for a world title. We've Leon unbeaten and whatever. So what is it, 8-9 fights? You've Brendan Loughnan probably going to be competing for the PFL title or that $1 million contract next year. I think it's June or something when they're planning to get back. You've a load of up-and-coming guys on Bellator. You've his brother, Fabian. Just, you know, so many good guys. And we obviously have Bisping, and the people have kicked on. They've seen the inspiration, I think, from Bisping and Conor McGregor and Joanna. So loads of talent in the UK, man. It's not stopping.
Not to mention the ladies, Joanne Collarwood, yeah, and Molly as well. You know what I mean? They're right there. let's get on to matters a bit closer to home. The day after we recorded last week, it was announced that the Irish government will be putting a ban on mass gatherings over 5,000. Right now, okay, it's not officially cancelled, but it's not happening. I'm pretty confident that it is not happening.
No, I think, you know, when you talk about Dublin cards, when you talk about cards in Ireland, and when you talk about UFC, it's synonymous with an atmosphere. And I think that alone in itself, the UFC are just going to shelve this event, and it's very, very unfortunate. Obviously, as you said, the government there, they've banned all mass gatherings. There's more than 5,000 people until September. So that effectively just draws a line under Dublin for this year. We thought it was the great comeback. And I think that's going to continue on right into next year. I don't think we're going to see any international cards bar Fight Island, wherever the fuck that's going to be. but I think it's going to be a long time before we're seeing fighters signed, as we said as well. So it's going to be a rough year, I think, for fans outside of the US looking to get fighters on or looking to have events in their home countries, because simply I just don't think it's going to happen, man, unfortunately.
Yeah, the idea of this, I put out the report that, you know, it's in doubt. Obviously, we can't say it's absolutely cancelled until the UFC say that, but it's certainly looking that way. And it's just funny to me, the amount of people going like, what if we do behind closed doors? Look, if there isn't a fucking crowd there, there's no point in having an Irish event. Like, I mean, just from the USC's point of view, that's what it's about. Like, they aren't bringing the fucking thing over here. Like, you know, why would you do a live broadcast from Dublin if the crowd weren't there, if you didn't know you could fucking get your staff there? I mean, it's not going to happen.
The sale of Dublin is the crowd. That's it.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, I mean, we just talked about UK MMA. I'm sure it's the same in every country, but, you know, just to speak on it from an Irish perspective here, this was going to be a huge year with Cage Warriors, Reese McKee, Paul Hughes, Joe McColgan, Ian Gary, James Webb, even with Bellator, Queeley v. Pitbull, Gallery v. Eleanor, Liam McCourt breaking through, plenty of fighters breaking through. It's just a shit buzz, isn't it? I mean, it was all felt like it was going to be a huge, huge year for us this year. It really did. I had that feeling myself. It just seemed like all the pieces were set up and ready to be knocked down. But obviously none of it happening now with the Belfast event being cancelled. Dublin in September, I'm sure, is probably in jeopardy for Bellator as well. And obviously all these great fights and all these great storylines gone by the wayside.
Yeah, it is. It's a real shame. And, you know, what can we do? That's the really frustrating thing about it. We can't do anything about it, and we don't know how long this is going to continue. And it's totally frustrating, but, you know, sometimes these things can spur people on to greater successes. So I'm sure we'll see some real positive stories and success stories from this troubling times. But yeah, like, there's other guys as well. You know, I know Joseph Duffy was, you know, so set to get back to the Three Arena and right those wrongs, as he said on the show a number of weeks ago. And yeah, it's just a clusterfuck for everyone, for the coaches, for Bellator, for the UFC. For it's just so frustrating, man. And I do, my heart generally goes out to all these fighters who'd big stages set for these events that have been cancelled, because it's a crying shame.
Yes. Speaking of people in bad predicaments, Jack Hermansson was due to take on Chris Weidman on May 2nd. Of course, that event is no longer happening. It would have happened this weekend. The word is that the UFC are currently looking for new opponents for Chris Weidman. But based on what Jack has to say here, they're still looking into ways to get him across. Look, it must be an incredibly frustrating situation to be in, preparing for a fight that may or may not happen, that it's probably unlikely is going to happen. Even if it is going to happen, you don't know what date it's going to happen on. But Jack did a great job of filling us in and letting us know the situation and how it looks from his point of view. But interestingly, the Barbers is open in Norway. I'm very, very jealous. Jack says he's on a waiting list of a week before he can get it done, but I am very jealous. I told him I'd nearly fly to Norway myself to get it done. I'm that bad at the
moment. I'll cut your hair for you, Petey.
Yeah, I'll take the same one as you, yeah. You'd be like brothers. But look, let's get on with Jack's interview, and we'll come back to have a look at this 249 card. And once again, we are joined by top-rated middleweight contender Jack Hermansson, who hoped to get back to winning ways in early May when he faced former UFC middleweight champion Chris Weidman. But unfortunately, there has been some obstacles put in the way due to the global coronavirus pandemic we are currently living through. Jack, how are you, first of all, my friend?
I'm very good, thank you very much. Thank you for having me. So, you know, I've been just trying to train as good as I can, and the shape is not too bad, actually. So I'm pretty happy during the circumstances.
That's good news. How are things in Norway? What's the situation there?
It has been pretty strict, but now you can feel that they are starting to release the pressure, so to speak, because today they opened up the barbershops, and I know the schools are opening now, and things are starting to step by step get back to normal. But I believe that our martial arts gym will probably be the last thing that they will open, so we'll see when that will happen.
Wow, the barber shops are open, man. I'd nearly get a flight to Norway to get my hair cut at this stage. My hair is so bad at the moment.
I managed to get a appointment a week from now, so it's pretty full booked.
Wow, a week it takes. Oh yeah, I can imagine. Every guy wants to get his hair cut now, right?
Yeah. It was 2 weeks in some places, so a week isn't bad.
Yes. I'm wondering, Jack, the fight with Chris Weidman, a lot of European fans were really looking forward to seeing you get back in there. When were you made aware that you wouldn't be able to travel? Because as I've heard, the situation at the moment is the US visas are only being granted to essential workers, i.e. medics or government officials. Is that the situation you find yourself in?
Yeah, exactly. Right now, I'm not sure when they will be able to get me a new visa. We're working on it, and as soon as things are sorted, and the DOC think they can make it happen, I'm sure they will. So it was just, I'm not sure which day I got the notice, but it was not unexpected, right. You know. So I trained hard for the fight, but I knew that this could happen. So, but I'm still training and waiting for a new chance as soon as it will show up.
So is the Weidman fight definitely off, as far as you know? Because, like, with you and him, because I've seen different outlets release articles saying that UFC are currently looking for a new opponent for him.
Both yes and no.
Right.
Yeah, because I know that they have been getting, you know, I am the matchup that they want, but they are at the same time trying to get reserves So I think that, you know, or that was the situation when we were supposed to fight as well. They got a couple of reserves if I wasn't making it inside of the states, but then they postponed the whole thing anyway. So right now I'm not sure. You know, I'm speaking with UFC and they say they don't want to make the fight happen, but I guess if they can't make it happen soon enough, they will have somebody else for Weidman. But I'm not sure about it yet, but that's what I believe. So
wow, that must be a crazy situation for you, because I mean you're preparing for a fight that may or may not happen, right? Like, I mean, is that a crazy one?
Yeah, it's really weird. So it's hard to have that, you know,
motivation,
laser
right?
focus. Yeah, the motivation is still there, but it's just like, you know, that focus that you're really, really gonna fight that day. You know, it's really hard to imagine when you know that you don't want to lock yourself into that, because you know everything can change in a second. So I try to stay open-minded and in good shape, and we'll see what will happen.
It feels like to me that Weidman would have been a great opponent for you. When this fight was made, I was like, this is perfect for Jack. It's a really well-known opponent, a guy who everybody knows in the US, a former champion. I felt like it was a really good fight for you to get back to winning ways. Is that the way you are seeing it too?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, his accomplishments and his big name was the reason that I was taking this fight. And you know, some people are saying, "Oh, you shouldn't take that fight. You should take someone else." But what not everybody understands is that I can't just pick and choose. You know, I want to fight the champ, but yes, that doesn't mean that UFC will give me the champ, you know. If I get a few options, you know, by like some up-and-comers or a former champ, I'll take that former champ. So I think Weidman is a good opponent. And I think that, you know, the fans, especially the fans, I don't think the fighter are underestimating him, but I think the fans are underestimating Weidman right now, because even though he was knocked out a few times, he was doing really good in all of those fights, and he's trouble for anyone that is fighting him. So, you know, you should never underestimate a guy like Chris Weidman.
Yes, no, I agree. I really like the fight. It feels like the more I'm talking to UFC fighters from Europe, it's starting to feel like Fight Island is what they need to happen to get them to fight. Is that the way you're seeing it? Like, I mean, I feel like the US is very tricky at the moment to get in there. Dana White has told Kevin Ioli of Yahoo Sports that Fight Island will be in a location that will allow international fighters to come and go. I mean, do you feel like that's the most likely way that you guys will get to fight, you guys from outside of the US?
I'm not sure, but if it is possible and if it will happen soon, I would love to be on that card, you know, because the interest from the world and from the fans is going to be huge. You know, everybody wants to see what is this about, you know, where is it, how it's going to look, everything like that. So I would love to be on that Fight Island card. So if the possibility comes, I'll sign up for sure.
I've heard he wants to do lots of events there. I mean, they're talking about it happening in June, and they might do it every week. I mean, is that the ideal for you? The Weidman fight stays and you get it in Fight Island?
Yeah, for sure. I would love that. So, as you say, it seems like they really like this idea. I feel like even if they didn't need it right now, they're probably going to do it anyway because people are getting hyped about it. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so much across all the sports world. People are talking about the UFC. Is it the same in Norway? Are no sports on at the moment?
Exactly. No sports. And the talk has been about the UFC, and everybody's just like, man, is this right? You know, why are they doing this? why are they trying to make sports when nobody else does? And so on, you know. So... And I feel like, you know, even if they're going against it, I feel like they try to do it the right way. They try to do it as safe as possible. And if they do it that way, I feel like, you know, it's safer to have a UFC event and attend that as a fighter than to go at any other crowded place. So I don't think it's as bad as people want it. It's just like they're going against the stream as usual.
It's just so many guys want to get their haircuts, they're getting angry when you guys can go to the airport. wouldn't mind if you had to go, Jack? That wouldn't be a problem for you?
No, absolutely not. I would go.
You sound like you want to go even if there wasn't a quarantine in Norway. I wanted to get your take on just one thing that seems to have emerged over the last few days. You know, we were talking about the champion and people not just being able to say, I want to fight the champion. It feels like there's been a huge amount of talk about Tyron Woodley and Israel Adesanya after their online spat.
Yeah.
Does that annoy you when you see a guy from a different weight division kind of come in and take a shot at the champion? Do you think this is an unlikely fight or do you think this is something that could happen?
I think if Tyron... had a history of a good relationship with with some people in the UFC. he might like Conor had. He might be able to pull that off. But you know, I don't see Tyron being that guy. Maybe if he would you know, become the champ again, that would be another story. But I think he definitely will have to get that belt back before a fight like that would be in the talks.
Do you think he could be a factor at middleweight? Obviously, you're a guy who's gone from... I mean, there has been a lot of guys that have gone from welterweight to middleweight, even Kelvin Gastelum and stuff like this. Do you feel... Robert Whittaker as well. Do you feel like he could be a presence, or is it maybe too late on in his career?
I don't think so. I don't feel like Tyrone is gonna be a middleweight. I don't see that being very likely. It's just I don't think so. But you never know, man. Especially, it's trending. People are changing weight classes, but I think he probably thinks that he has something that could beat Adesanya, and I think if he could get a shortcut, he would do it. But I don't think he wants to go up and go through all of us to get there.
No, that doesn't sound like fun. Not for me, definitely not.
But, I think that's the case, you know. If he can have a shortcut to that belt, he would do it. But, yeah.
All right, thank you. So, Jack, that's all we have for you. Thank you so much for joining us again, my friend. And I really hope that this fight can happen and you guys can get over there and compete, because we're all dying to see you guys in action again.
Yeah. Yeah, I really hope so too. Thank you so much for having me again.
Great to hear from Jack Hermanson. Crazy situation there. My heart goes out to him. It's weird, like, you can hear that he still wants it to happen, but at the same time, he's like, oh, gee, you know what I mean? It's crazy. If they're telling him, you know, we could possibly do this, he can't really stop training, right?
Yeah, not at all. And it looks like Chris Weidman stopped training from what I saw he was doing last night. He was on playing FIFA with some American footballer. Or not FIFA, Madden. That's all he's doing.
They had a tournament on ESPN.
Oh, did they? Yeah. He doesn't look he doesn't look very trim.
Oh, wow. Fucking hell. Noel McGrath taking shots at professional athletes here today.
that may indicate something. I don't know. Listen, who knows what's gonna happen. With the fights going forward, and listen, I don't want to rain on his parade, but the likelihood of that probably going ahead is unlikely if you're a European fighter, in my opinion. You know, you fly in there, you're going to have to do 2 weeks of quarantine, so like I just can't see where they're going to fit people in unless it goes ahead on Fight Island, which who knows? We should call it Fire Island.
No, okay, let's have a look at this card that is allegedly going down on Saturday, the 9th of May in Jacksonville, Florida. I think you've pretty much put the mockers on it now by saying it's going to happen, to be honest. But Tony Ferguson v. Justin Gaethje, if you take that fight on its own, it's fucking unbelievable. But I just have this feeling inside me that Gaethje could play the spoiler here to the fight that people want more than any other fight in the history of the sport, maybe.
You do. You get that feeling, don't you? I get that
as well. Oh, man. Big time. Big time. Like, oh, I don't know. Like, I mean, Tony's incredible. Like, yeah. if you put these fighters together at any other time,
you're going,
I'd probably be so like, yeah, no, Tony get the job done. But just with everything and the kind of the way that it puts the Habib fight at risk, I think it's just, we're tempted to fight here, lads.
110%. And you look at the fight and you go, shit, like, it's a typical fight that he could just sit in the pocket and just start throwing those leg kicks and land one on Tony. And I think it's going to be a slobber knocker regardless of what way we look at it. But in terms of a risk, man, I've said this all along, Tony is some man, you know, for showing up, not backing down, you know, making weight mentally 2 weeks ago, which was just unbelievably insane, like fighting the ghost. And the guy is an insane athlete. And I think going into this fight, Tony's going to have a lot of support because people really want to see that fight. We all want to see that fight. And I think subconsciously everyone's going to go, fuck it, you hope Tony win, regardless of what way you're looking at this. But he stepped up, he saved the show. I just have that sneaky feeling that Gaethje might just come in here and do something. Do you know that? I really do. I totally agree with you on that point. But, you know, what way do you see it going down? I know we're going to talk about it more next week. You know,
I won't get into it, how I see it going or anything, but I just wanted to ask, you know, I guess one of the big things everyone's talking about is, oh, this could ruin the Habib fight. Is there any way that Gaethje, the way he fights, incredible. Okay, seven bonuses and six UFC fights. This guy goes in and puts on a statement which results in people having a similar appetite for Gaethje v. Habib as there was for Ferguson v. Habib. Is that possible?
No. No.
No, I don't think so either.
No. I'm just being straight up. No, it's not. It's what Tony's done You know, since that loss to Michael Johnson back at the Ultimate Fighter finale, whenever it was, he's gone on an absolute rampage since then. He's beaten everyone that's been put in front of him. He's stepping up on short notice. He's had those, obviously, fallouts with Habib, whatever, 5 times or 20 times, whatever it is now, I don't know. But it's just that run. It's the record. It's the fight people want to see. Tony's sort of been the bridesmaid all along, and you just want him to finally get that opportunity to fight Habib. And it just needs to happen. I think what people are sort of forgetting here is, you know, if the UFC are looking at putting on, you know, a big summer fight, we're still in this situation. You know, Ramadan has started now as well. Habib's not going to fight for the next 2 months. You know, if the UFC look at a quick turnaround, if it's possible they can get a quick turnaround from this fight, you know, does it, even for Tony Ferguson, guarantee Habib? What, you know, would they look at Conor and Tony in the summer? I wouldn't be surprised. You know, strike while the iron's hot. If there's still not a lot of sport, it's a perfect time to put on a big, big pay-per-view fight, and that one would definitely be there in 2 months' time.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like just like the legacy, Habib and Tony's legacy, yeah, is kind of, that fight needs to happen, and it might be like the most Tony Ferguson thing to ever happen, that his will to fight sacrifices, yes, that fight with Habib, if you get me.
100%. And I think not just the two lads need it. I think, you know, for the MMA community and the sport in general, we need to see this fight. We've been talking about it for, what, 3 fucking years? Fell out 5 times. It's for the longevity, the legacy of the sport, we need to see this fight. It, you know, on paper, in my opinion, I've said this openly for the last fucking year, it is the greatest matchup in UFC history in terms of an actual contest.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many good fights on this, but I wanted to ask you about your comfort levels with Dominic Cruz stepping in to fight Henry Cejudo.
Oh, I love it. I think Dominic Cruz has a chance. You know, I definitely do. You know, Dominic, I think it was the TJ fight. I think Bren mentions it. You know, when he fought TJ, yeah, when he came back and put in that performance. And a guy, you know, you follow him on Instagram, you follow him on Twitter, he's always in the gym. He's always training. He's, you know, he's a guy that never looks out of shape, and he's never out of shape. And he's, you know, he sort of dispelled the ring rust theory for years after that performance. It was absolutely insane. If there's someone that can do it, it is him. And I think he does match up well against Henry Cejudo. I think it's his speed.
Cejudo.
How many years has this been going on?
I've fucking since Cejudo was born. Yeah,
true, but I think it's a fight he can definitely win. I love it, man. I think it's better than the Aldo fight. And I don't think you feel the same way, do you? We had this conversation a couple of weeks ago.
I don't think Dom should be the first guy in line, but I think based on the situation, like,
that's what it is, man.
Like, people can't get in. You know, yeah, Aljamain Sterling's girlfriend had COVID. I mean, like, those two are the guys that should be fighting. Aljo's just coming off the back of that injury, so it makes sense in that regard. I think Cruz is a fantastic athlete. I think he's one of the greats in the sport, so definitely, it makes sense from that situation. I don't think if they had a full roster to choose from that he should have got the shot, but I certainly think it makes it very interesting. But I think most importantly, it's getting the fucking bantamweight division moving again. Like, I think that's the most important thing here. We need to have some moving pieces here rather than just this build-up of contenders. We need to give it a shake and see what's happening then. And look, if Jan and Moraes happens in June as Jan expects it to, I mean, he's gonna be next in line anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, that's the benefit we have here. You know, Henry sitting on the shelf for so long and talking about fighting women and all this garbage coming out of his mouth. You'd probably be a good thing if someone else came in and beat him at this point, because he just wanted to sit there and look pretty with a crown on his head and call himself Triple C and not fight anyone. So it's great now that we're getting moving again, because there's 5 or 6 guys in there, Petey, and you know this as well as I do, that could be world champion, and you wouldn't be surprised if they're world champion. Most notably, I think, as you said, Peter Yan. You know, Dom Cruz goes in there. It just changes the dynamic, and I think it'd be good to mix it up, because we need to get it moving again. It's good. It is good. I'm happy.
Let's talk about the all European fight on the card. Francis Ngannou against Netherlands Jerzinho Rosenstruck.
We're clutching to straws there.
What do you think of this all European clash?
Cameroon versus Aruba.
How dare you?
No, I like it, man. It is good. It's a real test for Rosenstruck to, you know, to really see where he's at. I know he beat Alistair Overeem, and you know Alistair's, you know, probably you know, coming down a little bit from where he used to be. And I think Ngannou has obviously come back since that criticism from Dana White and put on, you know, three really, really good performances, most notably last time out in last summer, I believe it was, against JDS when he knocked him out. And I think it's a tough one for Rosenstruck. I am going to favour, obviously, our French counterpart and our European Euro basher, Franny Ngannou, in this one. But we'll talk about that more next week. I do. I like it.
I think people are fucking underestimating Rosenstruck a lot here, man, to be honest. Stevens and Cater is going to be fucking awesome fight. I fancy De Castro to do a number on Greg Hardy.
I love Luke and Price as well. That's a good scrap. Part two.
Yeah. Well, Cerrone and Pettis is very quiet, isn't it?
It is. It's headlining the ESPN portion of the card. It's part two as well. So there's a couple of rematches in there. Yeah, it is. It has been quiet. It was supposed to happen originally on the card. What card was McGregor back at? 229, was it? It wasn't
2-2-9.
2-4-6. Jesus, me and numbers. Holy God.
Fuck me.
It was originally supposed to happen on that card. Team Pettis were offered Cerrone, as we spoke about in the show back then. And then he got word that Conor McGregor was interested in fighting, pulled out. So we're seeing that now. So, yeah, looking forward to that one as well. I think it's an absolute barn burner of a scrap.
And, imagine Alexei Oleinik chokes out Werdum with his Ezekiel. That would be slick, fucking European glory all over the place.
It would be slick.
That'd be amazing.
There's some good fights on
There's a lot of fights here that could, like, you know, headline a regional event. Luque and Nico Price is insane. Jacare vs Uriah Hall is a great style matchup, a classic style matchup. A lot of great fights, man. Outside of the top three, say Ferguson, Gaethje, Cejudo, Cruz, and Ngannou, Rosenstruck, what are you looking forward to most?
Yeah, also looking forward to, you know, Michelle Waterson, Carlos Spurs. I think that's a good scrap on the card. You know, Michelle, obviously a lady who brings the whole time. Carla, former champion. That tickles my fancy. Charles Rosa, Bryce Mitchell's a good little scrap as well. So yeah, listen, top to bottom, it's bloody stacked. Loving the card.
Luque Price is going to fucking deliver. That's a fight. That's a fucking great fight. But anyway, let's move on to our third interview of the day. It is with Brendan Loughnane, a man who had a big, big year mapped out in front of him with the PFL featherweight tournament. Of course, he'd be entering the tournament for the first time. We know he had eyes on that crown for as soon as he signed, basically, and he's been obviously studying a lot of Lance Palmer, a man who's won the tournament two times in a row. We caught up with Brendan all the way in Thailand, and we got his take on the situation. Obviously, not ideal for him, but he gave his outlook and what he's planning for the rest of the year. So we'll be back in about 20 minutes to talk about the shite. You have been asking for him, and finally he is back. It is Brendan Loughnane all the way from Thailand now. Brendan, a lot to get to here with the cancellation of this PFL season and everything else. But how are you, first and foremost?
Yeah, great to be back on the show with yourself again. And yeah, this time I'm from Thailand. It could be the States. Could be anywhere with me nowadays. Who knows? But yeah, you know what? The world's going through a mad time. And it turns out I've probably been in the best country in the world for it right now because, you know, we've got total freedom pretty much, apart from the odd restaurants and bars are shut. But we can get around as normal. So I've been kind of lucky, and it's not really got any cases here. So I've been really lucky, to be honest.
That's great to hear. And you're able to train away pretty much as normal over there, which would probably be most important to you, of course.
Well, yeah. The gyms are closed. But, you know, we're just doing home sessions now. We've got mats. We've got pads, got my pad man that comes on, my wrestling guy that I wrestle with. So yeah, I'm happy, to be honest.
It's a very different situation, right? Like, I mean, I know, of course, you wanted to be, you know, front and center at the PFL tournament this year. But I mean, being away, being able to provide this kind of life for yourself, it must be a good feeling all the same.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there's no complaints from me at all. I've got one of my best mates here living with me. We've got top training all day and night, got world-class opposition here, and it's just a real good energy. So yeah, I know it's a bit of a bummer, PFL. You know, I was, like you said, I was ready to take that million. That's still going to be my million. It's just going to have to wait another year. In the meantime, yeah, I'll just take my foot off the gas a little bit and wait around, really, like everyone else.
Yeah, it's interesting though. I mean, unanimously, I feel like the MMA community have applauded the PFL's approach to this, you know, suspending it for a year and putting you guys on this monthly stipend. Is that all? Are you like, as a contracted fighter there, will you be able to receive that stipend? Like, I think that's a great gesture. I know a lot of people in different promotions would certainly be very welcome to it if they could sort something like that out, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's pretty funny. I didn't even know what stipend meant. I had to Google it. I was thinking, what are they giving me here? Yeah, it's not started yet, but yeah, obviously I'm a contracted fighter with the PFL, so yeah, we'll be getting that. So yeah, obviously, big shout out to them and looking after us for a difficult time.
Yeah, I mean, did you feel like, you know, compared to the other promotions, do you feel like they've done very well here? I know a lot of people with Bellator, obviously they paid their fighters when they had to cancel that event. I mean, do you feel like it's a particularly good one compared to the other guys, or have you been paying much attention?
No, it's a double-edged sword, though, really, because, you know, at least if you're in Bellator, the UFC is a good chance you'll fight this year.
Mm.
Like, you know, I've got to wait now till next June, May, June. It's insane, really. That's another year on the shelf. And it's not what I wanted coming into my primal years. So, yeah, there's not much I can do, really. Like I say, there's unforeseen circumstances out there right now, isn't there?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's funny, right? Because, I mean, I feel like the UK was poised for such, like, a lot of big moments this year. Like, with Till at middleweight, Leon fighting Tyron, which, of course, fell apart. And then you in this tournament. It's kind of like, I mean, I hate to say it, but we have had this conversation many times, Brendan, where it feels you're just on the cusp of this, everything going the right way, and then it's suddenly gone.
Don't say it. Don't even say it anymore, mate. I don't even know what's going on. I'm thinking of packing it all in and putting a rain jacket on and start digging the roads or something.
It does feel like this could be the golden age, though, right, for UK MMA. Like, and it's just, we're kind of stuck in limbo now with this.
Oh, God, it's like you say, I feel extremely sorry for Leon.
Finally
getting his big one, what he's deserved and he's earned. And then, yeah, a couple of days before getting told that, I mean, the kid just can't catch a break. So, like you say, it's not just me out here. There's plenty of others in my boat. So, you know, like I say, I'm in Thailand. I've got great people around me. There's no complaints from me.
I wanted to ask you, right, because I'm sure you've been watching Lance Palmer for a long time, obviously the two-time featherweight champion, two-time featherweight tournament winner there, and he's kind of getting into this space that I kind of see Valentina Shevchenko in, say, for example, like where everyone seems to think that there's a person at the top of the division with nobody that can, you know, bridge that gap, that level of elite. And I know you wanted to go in there and make a big impression. But first and foremost, what do you think of Palmer? Do you think he is one of the best 145ers in the world based on what he's done?
Well, what you got to look at with Lance Palmer, he's 10-0 in the PFL. He's made $2.5 million, probably more, in 2 years. And you can't take away what the man's done. It's very boring to watch. Nobody wants to watch it. And I think everyone was really happy, like, that I was going to get in there and actually give him a fight and, you know, not just try and lie there, really, because that's all he does. Let's be honest. Like, there's no action, really. I mean, he's only finished one guy out of the 10. Like, I mean, there's no disrespect to him, but fucking hell. I mean, it's like watching paint dry.
When I look at the names he's even faced, I'm like, this is, maybe it's a bias because, you know, I've been following your career for so long, but I feel as like there would be a huge international response to you taking him on, you know? Like, that would be a really big deal for PFL. With you in the tournament with the stakes as high as they would be, like, do you feel like that's one of the more appealing fights that PFL could put on, even though it's a tournament situation? Of course, results dictate who's fighting who, but do you feel as though that's one of the most interesting fights they can put on at 145?
Yeah, 100%. That is the fight to make. I mean, I'm on a tear right now. I've been a five-fight win streak, coming there with a lot of hype. He's at the top of the heap, and that's the guy I want to fight. I was really looking forward to it as well, to be honest. And I've been training my arse off for it. So, what was it, 2 days ago? It was a massive, massive blow. When I first got told, I thought, you know, then it really sank in about a day or two later. I was like, oh, shit, this is another year on the shelf. Like, just coming up this whole contender thing where I got let down there, then, getting in here, like, right, and finally getting the break here and fucking hell, starting again. But listen, what are we going to do, mate? What are we going to do?
I mean, it's kind of not working in his favor, though, when I was kind of thinking about it. I know you got to find positives in this situation, I guess, but I'm thinking he's 33 years of age now. Another year on the clock by the time this season starts. I mean, and you're in the prime of your career, I'd say. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. I'm just coming. This is what I feel like. I'm coming into my physical prime. Just turned 30 in December. And yeah, I mean, the guy, listen, 10-0, you can't knock the guy what he's doing, but everyone was really looking forward to that fight. And not bums either. It's a couple of them guys in that tournament are not bums that he's been beating. Like, he's been fighting legitimate opposition as well. And he's just a strong, extremely strong man in it. And like, if he gets older, you've got a problem. So just got to be on my toes ready for next year. And that's been the game plan all along, really.
Yeah, and I know you would be a guy that has always been prepared for wrestlers throughout your whole career because you're so good with your hands. It's just something that you got to do. And of course, you know, you went to the US and trained a lot. I wanted to ask you about that because Dominic Cruz has been put in against Henry Cejudo here, and there's a lot of buzz, a lot of talk about this. Cruz, obviously one of the greatest bantamweights who ever lived. How do you feel about that fight? And do you feel like maybe people are not giving Dom the credit he deserves? I feel like some people are kind of thinking this would be a walk in the park for Cejudo, given how long it's been since we saw a victorious Dom Cruz in there.
I mean, what a story. This man's been to hell and back, you know, yeah, with his injuries, both knees, both hands. He's literally done every muscle and every bone in his body. It's incredible. And to come back after however many years he was out, to beat Dillashaw the way that he did, who was unstoppable at the time, and now he's about to come back and get the belt again. I mean, what a story. I mean, the guy's an inspirational man. I'm proud to call him a friend, and I can't wait to watch.
Do you like that style matchup? Like, I mean, you obviously understand Dom's game a lot better than a layman like myself. You know, and you know Cejudo, his strengths. Do you think this is a really good matchup for Dom, or how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I actually do, because, I mean, if you look at, like, Mighty Mouse and all the other guys that he's fought, they're all, like, shorter guys, Uriah Faber. And Dom's made a name off these shorter guys fighting him. And his style lends to it because he's tall and rangy at the weight. And I don't know, I really do think he's going to win this fight. I just think it's written in the stars for him, honest to God. Never met anyone like him. It really is written in the stars for him, this fight.
It kind of feels like the same energy ahead of that 2016 fight with TJ Dillashaw, doesn't it? Where everyone's like, we don't really know what to expect. And that was unbelievable when he won that decision. I mean, you're dead right. If he went in there against Cejudo and did that, it would completely turn again. Like, this is just so typical of the MMA fan base. They'll be going 1 second, oh, who's this guy? He'd win that fight and everybody would be like, he's the greatest fighter of all time. You know what I mean? It would be like that moment, wouldn't it?
Oh, listen, it's a really fickle sport, mate. Especially when you end up... Oh, everyone's your best mate when you've won a fight, and then nobody rings you when you lose. And that's just the top and bottom of the game, really. And this story now, though, is we've never seen anything like it in sport, really, or combat sport, for a guy to be plagued so much and come back and win the world title again. So I think it's written in the stars. And like I say, there's some other screamers on that card. Screamers, that Ferguson and Gaethje, all that. Oh, I can't wait to watch it, to be honest.
Yeah, everybody. Like, I feel like my friends who, like, never watch MMA, they're like, is that definitely going to happen? You know, everyone's just really, really chomping at the bit for some live sport more than anything, I feel.
What about Jeremy Stephens and Kassar? What a fight.
Holy shit, yeah, that's an incredible fight, man. Wow.
Two of the absolute best 45ers out there just swinging it out. Can't wait. Both great strikers. One's a savage knockout artist. One's, you know, a technician. It's going to be great. Can't wait.
I wanted to, I need to ask you, and this might be a bit awkward, Brendan. We had Piotr Jan on the show last week, and I know you've been doing a bit of training with him, but he gave Dom a terrible time when we asked him about this Cejudo fight. Like, I mean, do you have to separate that business and training kind of situations there? Like, obviously, Piotr's trying to get himself in that mix as well. Like, do you just kind of have to say, right, we just got to train together here, and we know we have to say some things to put ourselves in positions every now and again. Let's just get on with it. How do you deal with that? Is it awkward?
I know, mate. I know. Trust me. I know exactly what you're saying. Do you know what I mean? Like, but listen, it's business. We're in the fight game. This is what we do to make fights happen, you know, and total respect to them both, to be honest. Like, it's not, you know, it's not my division. They're both, you know, the good training partners for me, and may the best man win. end of.
What's he like to train with? Obviously, Jan. I mean, we don't get to speak to a lot of people who've done any rounds with him. Like, I mean, did you find him decent?
Oh yeah. Savage, and he's an absolute savage. His resume speaks for itself. But we've got the same coaches here now. We're both working with the same guys. Obviously, he's been here a lot longer than me, but absolutely top fella. Really nice fella, Jan. And yeah, I've really enjoyed training with him. And another guy, Fabio Pinco, one of the best strikers ever.
Wow.
So we're training with him. I've got some amazing training partners right now. I'm spoiled, to be honest.
Who gets a better suntan, you or Piotr?
Me or who?
You or Piotr, Jan. Who gets the better suntan?
Is that how you say it, Piotr?
Yeah, I mean, I keep on going between the two, but I think that's how you say it, yeah. It's like the Loch Nain, Loch Nan situation all over again.
I was thinking, who's he talking about here?
Yeah, I'm not too sure, man. I hear different people using different things. I always, I should just stick to one, though. You're right. I should either just say Peter or Piotr.
Just stick to one, mate. You really confused me.
But who gets a better tan? I want to know.
Oh, tan, mate. I just sit and absolutely fry with that Irish skin.
Irish skin v. Russian skin. I was very interested in this battle.
You know exactly how it is.
The abuse. Finally, what is a Thai roast like? That is not dirty. I'm not trying to bring up anything derogative here, but you were having a roast dinner before I called you, and I was wondering. I can't imagine they have Yorkshire pud over there or anything like that. How does it go?
Oh, mate, I am not joking you now. It is the best roast. It's better than England. No joke.
Ooh, controversial there.
There's a guy from Manchester who's got a bar here, and it's absolutely incredible. We get it every Sunday. We've been having it there, but obviously, see you later, brother. But we usually go to his pub and have a pint with it, but it's closed down, obviously, so we get it delivered to us now. So we all sit around, get our roast going, mate. It's a proper look forward to a Sunday. I'm having this chat with you now, literally lying on my bed. I can hardly breathe.
That's brilliant, man. That's brilliant. How long do you plan to stay in Thailand until this kind of blows over? It sounds to me that, you know, you've got a good way of going about your business there anyway. There would be no point in really going home and maybe, you know, having to isolate yourself some more. Would you say you're going to be in Thailand until this until the travel restrictions at least kind of open up again?
If I told you what my plan was, I'd be absolutely lying, because there is no plan right now. I mean, I'm on the shelf for another year, and I'm not happy about it, to be honest, at all. So who knows what I'm going to do? You know, I've got a bit of time to, you know, I'll have to pull myself out of camp now and just kind of just take over, do you know what I mean? So who knows if it's worth me being here, do you know what I mean? And until I have to come back for serious training next year. So, yeah, I don't know. To be honest, I'm just kind of playing it by day now.
Would there be any way you would look into maybe trying to get, a clause for one fight, maybe a release to go fight somewhere else, but obviously still with the PFL? Is that something you might look into, or how are you feeling about the situation?
Yeah, we're trying all types of different things now, to be honest. Nothing's set in stone. But if I could stay active, that's all I want to do. I don't even care about the money. I don't care about any of that at this stage. What I care about is being active. And you know, I've had a couple of inactive years sometimes in my career. And as I get older now, I just want to get going. Do you know what I mean? Now I feel in my prime. I just want to fight. And the main thing I was looking forward to was 7 fights in a year. That really made my mouth water. Wow. Twice in one night. That's what I wanted to do. And now, obviously, a pandemic happens and you're back on the shelf, Brent. So, yeah. That's what's going on.
Is it the fear of losing your sharpness? Like, what is the need to fight here if it isn't for financial gain, as you said? Like, what do you feel like in your mind? Why is it so important to get out there and compete?
Yeah, exactly. You just hit the nail on the head. I want to compete. I'm a competitor. I mean, I'm a martial artist. I train every day. I can't wait to test my martial arts against other martial artists in the world. And that's what I live to do. And you tell me that I have to wait a year to do it now. It's annoying, but like I say, money will always come and go, but legacy is going to be forever in it. And I just want to be in there with them big names and be talked about, you know, for when I've got my grandkids on my knees, you know, that one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've already got plenty of those moments. But I mean, if that is an option, do you think that will be something you take if they were open to maybe you guys fighting, you know, a couple of fights in a different organization before returning to PFL in 2021? That would be something you'd probably be interested in.
Oh, 1,000%. Absolute 1,000%. Nothing's set in stone yet. We're working on a few things, so hopefully I'll have a bit more news for you soon.
Very interesting. You always have a few you have a few spinning plates on the go at one time, Brendan. You're never just waiting for your next fighter.
I'm always got me hand in something. Let's just put it that way.
Right, man.
I've got my fingers in a few pies.
Right, Brendan, go on. I'll talk to you, mate. Thanks so much for getting on to us. And I look forward to hearing about your next move.
Thank you so much for the call, mate, and having me on again. I really appreciate it.
All the best, man. Talk to you soon.
Take care, mate. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much to Brendan. Sounds like at least he's getting the old roast going in Thailand, so I'm happy to hear that. crazy time. It's just every week listening to these guys, it's so rough for the fighters, man. You know, as sole traders, essentially, yeah. Especially these guys in their peak years, it's like, fuck, you know, it's such a speed bump, I guess.
Yeah, no, definitely, you know, especially for Brendan, man, you know, just the injuries, then sort of not wanting to commit to, you know, multi-contracts and fights, and then he finally gets an organization after that UFC debacle, where the UFC clearly should have signed him in Dana White's Contender Series, 5-fight contract, or whatever it is for the world's tournament that PFL do, sorry.
5-fight contract or whatever.
No, but you know what I mean? A multi-fight deal, I should have said, just off the bat. But no, it's very frustrating for him. He's a guy that's just been so unfortunate the last 3 years that he's had no fluency, and now having to sit out till probably next summer. It's just so unfortunate, man. And hopefully he can come to some sort of resolution, as he said there, and try just get back in there and, you know, take a sabbatical out of his contract and be allowed to have, you know, maybe a 1-fight grace on that deal with some other promotion, because you know, it's a long time, man, isn't it? Long time.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't even know what stipend meant, so I mean, I don't think he's banking on you know, I think he would take a fight rather than take the stipend and then return, yeah, for the tournament next year if that was the way they wanted to play it, you know.
Yeah, I think he said that as well, you know, that he just wants to get back in there. That's what it's all about for him. And Brendan is, in fairness, one of those lads. He just trains the whole time. Like, you see him, I think he was, as you said there, he was out with Peter Yan training with him and just blasting pads and lads in Thailand. And I think that's basically sort of Brendan's mindset. Like, he's a tough guy and he loves to throw down, and he does. He needs that momentum to kick on, I feel.
Blasting lads in Thailand. Whew, that's that's gonna be.
And you just said to me off air 2 minutes ago, I had a dirty mind. Get the fuck out of here, Carl. Get out.
Listen,
of here.
Man, you're the one blasting lads on the brain. I can't compete with that. But Niall, you've shaved your head. You said you would on last week's show. How did it go? Talk us through it. Are you happy with the result?
Great. Yeah, it's grown so fast that I messed it up when I was shaving it last week. I put a tree all over, a blade tree, and then I got out of the shower and I saw there was a few bits that were sort of sticking up. So I went and got the head shavers out of the thing, and I took a lump out of the back of it. Oh no, I'd forgotten to put the blade tree back on from the zero.
Oh, shit.
So I had to just bite the bullet and zero it all off. But it's literally grown back. It's like a tree now anyway, so it's grand.
Yeah, it looks great.
My hair grows at a rapid pace, so... Yeah, it's sure. Listen, you can't go to barbers or anything, so you can't even buy clippers online. There's like a 3-month waiting list or something on feckin' Amazon, like everything else at the moment. So I just said, fuck it, I cut it. So yeah, Grant, it's handy as fuck. You know, an hour in the shower.
You had a very public spat with your internet provider last week. How did that go? You must have it back anyway if you're talking to me right now.
Yeah, just about. But, you know, went off for a couple of hours today. I was a bit concerned, but then I saw a lot of other people were having... problems as well.
Not the north side. Nothing on the north side.
Yeah, sure. Who wants to live out in those sticks? But
says the man from Kildare. Anyway,
it was infuriating, because I'm not the type of person to shame companies online or anything like that. But it just got to a point over, you know, customer for years and cutting off our bloody lines, doing work on the neighbours, and then not sending someone out till the Thursday. I was like, nah, that ain't happening, mate. Not an absolute chance. Like, and then they messed up when they came out the first day. They didn't have a ladder high enough to fix it. There was no communication from what actually happened in the neighbour's house to the guys that came out and did it. So they had to eventually get the guy out who cut the neighbour's line to do it and fix it all up. So they put a new line into our house. They didn't even bother asking us when they cut it. So yeah, great service. Unbelievable. Like, yeah, deadly. I'm not being sarcastic.
When was it resolved?
Thursday. So
you said, we're going to have to wait till Thursday. Absolute no way, mate. And then they just did it on Thursday.
Because they send people... No, because they send people out on... happened on Tuesday. Send people out. I was going mad on Tuesday. Send people out on Wednesday morning, first thing at like 7 a.m. He was there for 4 or 5 hours, basically did nothing. And then couldn't get it done, so he basically ended up leaving the house here in a huff.
The castle.
Yeah, in a huff. And so I was like, all right, see you later, pal. You better send someone out tomorrow. So then I had a big mission trying to get it confirmed for Thursday morning, first thing. And your man eventually came out on Thursday and got it sorted. But yeah, just a royal pain in the hole. After they cut the wires, like, didn't even bother checking to see if we were Virgin Media customers. Great stuff.
Sounds like they're taking the piss out, you know, yeah. To be honest.
Sure, listen, what can you do?
Wouldn't happen on my watch, that's all I'm saying. But I have another bone to pick with you. So last week, Andy Stevenson doing a great thing. You know, he nominates me in this thing to help our frontline workers. I don't usually run. I went out and did it. I donated the money. And I nominated Niall McGrath. Not only did he not donate, he hasn't even ran the fucking thing. Or the other way around, whatever way is worse. What's your story? What's your excuse?
I told you. I told you. What read out what that message said. I told you, and I was totally right.
He said, help the frontline workers. Me going for a run. They've already got enough on their hands.
Exactly. 110%. That's it. 100%.
You wouldn't throw them enough for a point now, the L5?
Of course I will, yeah. Of course I will.
Jeez.
Of course I will.
Look, you had to be publicly shamed into it.
I don't be publicly shamed. I literally, if I ran 5 kilometres, I'd collapse and die in the condition I'm in at the moment in terms of my fitness. Literally.
Just go on your scooter.
Well, I have. I've done 150 kilometres in my scooter. So we're laughing.
That's basically like running 5K.
Yeah, well, it is, of course. It's very stressful on your back and your hands. And your limbs, you know what I mean? It's tough work, like.
Nothing you're not into, man. You know what I mean?
Gets the lungs going, man. You know what I mean? So no, yeah, like literally, I'm not joking. I would be in a bad way if I tried to do that.
I never ran 5K in my life. I've done 4 since then. I'm fucking going for the Olympics at this stage.
I have plenty of times, but Jesus, my lungs are in rag order, man. I literally collapse, like.
Yeah, it's good to do, though, because you realise how unfit you are when you do, and you're like, oh, holy shit, when did I become a monster?
Yeah, I did about fucking 8 years ago now at this point. I used to play the odd bit of five-a-side football, but when that went away, Jesus Christ, I can hardly walk up the stairs these days.
Full-blown 11-a-side match happening out on the park there today. I was like, lads, this isn't what they had in mind.
it's mad. Like, it's so noticeable, the traffic around and people getting, complacent and stuff like that. And, you know, as you said, like, you've heard stories of parties and you've seen it. It's shocking. People should be literally locked up for putting other people's lives in danger. It's shocking. It really pisses me off. And, you know, I saw it, you know, even there last Sunday, you know, and certain occasions and you're passing by parks and stuff like that, you know, people just sort of taking the pace at this point. And yeah, it's not cool, man. It's not cool at all.
So I'm reading fucking comic books, everything, man. I'm trying out loads of new shit at the moment. It's not too bad. I'm actually not finding it too bad at all, I have to
say. Yeah, so your comic book talks with that fella. Upsetting, Peter. Upsetting. You're spending too much time on him. It's upsetting me.
I haven't spent any time.
You have. You're having these Twitter, oh, I watched this, oh, look at this comic, this manga crap. What the fuck is that about in crystals? What is wrong with you? What has happened to you? Can the real PT please come back? Comic books and crystals. No, they're fucking garbage, both them. You have it.
What was the comic books when you were a kid that were probably like the Dandy and stuff like that?
The fucking Beano and shit, Dennis the Menace, like solid shit.
That stopped in 1972 or something, didn't it?
Fuck you.
No way, you could probably make a few bit of quid. You make a few quid if you still have them.
And you know, Roy the Rovers. Remember the Bars as well. That was my day.
But I'll tell you,
when it wasn't all this fucking garbage that they fucking write now and corrupt people's minds with shite.
There the world was in black and white when I was a kid.
You're smarter as fuck, aren't you? You swear you were 21 the way you go on, like. Jesus Christ. Give us a break.
I look 21.
You're trying to be, at least I'm not making any fucking excuses that I'm not like this fucking hipster into manga and fucking crystals now. Where the fuck did this come from?
Hipsters into manga?
They must be. Like, look at the state of that toothbrush head, pencil neck fella. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, come on.
Speaking about Jose,
you're spending too much time with him now. It's going to have to stop. It's upsetting me.
Look, I mean, I can feel how upset you are. You know, I really can. It's disturbed you a lot. Have you? Did you watch The Last Dance yet?
I did. Great, man.
I haven't watched three or four yet, so I have a whole night set up here to watch them.
I actually got up this morning early to watch them.
Oh, I don't know how you do that. It's like the waste of a night.
Yeah, I know. I was just, I actually enjoyed it that much that I was really excited about it. And I love sports documentaries, and it's just mad to see the characters and, you know, just the little intricate things that sparked them off to go on runs and the shit with Dennis Rodman and the shit.
All right, don't ruin the fucking episode, mate. Yeah,
okay, I'm going to tell you all. But it's deadly. It is. I really, really enjoyed it, and I'm going to watch that right out to the end now. It's just, I'm pissed off with Netflix, because normally they just release all in one. Like, I prefer it like that. It's really annoying. Well, like it. Well, maybe, I suppose, at this time it's good, but still fucks me off a little bit. Fuck you, Netflix.
If I'll be included in the story, obviously, after I won the first year Hartstown unisex basketball tournament, a lot of talk about me possibly going to the Bulls. So, I mean, I wonder if those chats I had with Jordan will be
featured.
Did you
play basketball, yeah?
Jesus, I was fucking Christ. Savage. Pretty savage at everything. The only sport they wouldn't let me play is rugby, because they thought I'd injure all those Southside Fairies. That was a direct quote from the IRFU.
I'd say you were the lad that was picked last in the teams, were you?
Yeah, I was actually, to be honest.
I was always the captain.
Yeah, not far off. All my mates were class, though, so I couldn't just play with them, and everyone thought I was deadly until they isolated me. They're like, hang on, piece of shit, this...
Last pick.
Yeah, those were the days.
That's the way it goes. So you made up for in later life with your floating seal jiu-jitsu when you taught.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a pioneer of many sports, basketball, jiu-jitsu. I don't know what I'm going to do next. Probably jogging now. I am jogging.
Jogging.
I am.
It's a new fad.
I wonder how long I'll keep this up. I am a fatty. Like, I'm mad like that. Like, I'll go through a phase of liking something. I'll get mad into this for like 2 months, have all the stupid headbands and everything, and I'll be like, fuck it, no, I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah. No, I've never understood the point in jogging.
Yeah, it's very boring. And this is, you know, my ears are fucked up from the grappling. Not on the outside. I don't have cauliflower ear on, but the inside of my ears, they don't take them, the plug. So, I mean, every time I run, they just fall out my fucking ears. And then when you don't even have anything to listen to, it's just a disaster.
Yeah, mine are the same. My fucking, these plugs I have on at the moment are doing the same. They're fucking perforating my fucking eardrums. They're in that tight. Trying to keep them in.
But if anyone has a good idea of headphones that I can use on a run that aren't like, I have Beats there, but I don't even fucking wear them.
These ones do for you, actually. They're called the, what are they called? EMI. They go right into your ears and they plug. They go the opposite way on your ears. So you put them at the back of your head.
They're
actually not bad for this sort of setups. They might be good for jogging and shit like that, but I wouldn't.
Jogging,
new fad.
Yes. Well, look, we'll let you guys get on with your lives, and we'll continue with ours. And hopefully we'll be back for episode 81 next week. And will it or will it not happen next week?
It's happening. We will find out, I guess. You're telling me I'm cursing it. You're cursing it now.
Well, I'm just being practical, Niall. You're being...
optimistic,
you know,
we have to be optimistic. You're,
I mean, where did that optimistic get us on April 18th, mate? You know, fucking disaster.
I can't fucking win.
All right, love yous loads. I hope everyone who is practicing has a safe and rewarding Ramadan. I know it's a very tough time in terms of the old food. I would, my hat goes off to you. I'm really bad. I need to eat all the time. So fair play to you. I hope it is a good one. And look, we'll see you next week.